Yes, amen. We finished in Daniel. I want to go back there again today. But before we do, I have a few little choice nuggets from the New Testament, from the epistle of 1 John. 1 John being just before Revelation, if you're having trouble finding it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. Actually, let's go to verse 2, verse 28 first. We've been talking about prayer, and prayer is talking to God. Amen? It's talking with God. Actually, prayer should be hearing from God, too. It's not just a one-way street, you know. It goes both ways. And it says here in verse 28 of chapter 2, it says, "And now, little children..." It'd be nice if he were talking to us as sons, but he says, "And now, little children," so we can take that. "Abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." So we're talking about the end time. We're talking about the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen? And his coming. By the way, those are two different words. I believe that there's a separate appearing of Christ, and I believe that there's a coming of Christ. He's going to appear suddenly in his temple. Amen? Which means he's going to come into his church. He's going to come into his people in a new way that we have not yet seen or experienced. But he's also going to come. Amen? And it says that in this time that we will have confidence. Amen? Now, if we're going to speak to God, we have to have confidence in talking to him. In other words, you can't be just shy and withholding and holding back. And, oh, I don't know if I dare even ask him. You know, no. Be confident. What does it say in Hebrews? That we might come boldly before the throne of grace. That we might obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Find help in time of need, I believe it is. Amen? Now, this doesn't mean brazen. There's a difference between boldness and brazenness. Okay? Brazenness is proud, without regard to the holiness of the situation. Without deference to his majesty, okay? Reckless, okay? No, that's not what we're talking about. But we are saying that in boldness and in confidence, you know that you have a place there. You have received the blood. You know that that sin has been removed from you. You know that the accuser has no ground with you anymore. Amen. And therefore, you can come before the throne, and you can present your petitions. You need a job? You can ask for a job.
I was just going to say, Esther's a perfect example.
Right.
How she went boldly before the king.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, she didn't go recklessly. She told all the Jews to pray and fast, because knowing that in this awesome place that she was coming, the king had a right to kill her, according to their, I would call, stupid laws. You know, that if he didn't recognize her when he was sitting in court, that would be the end. But he recognized her. God did something to his heart. And now here's a worldly, wicked king, even. He was not a godly man. And God moved upon him. All right, so then go down into chapter 3, verse 20. It says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." All right, even if your heart says, "Oh, but you're not worthy." Okay? Even if your heart says, "Oh, well, remember all those terrible things that you did, or the way you used to be, or whatever." if it says, even if your heart condemns you, the covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ overrules your heart.
Amen. Amen.
Are you seeing this? There is the law of God is greater than the law of your own heart, in so much as it might bring condemnation to you, tell you you're not worthy, tell you you're weak and that you're not strong, that you're vulnerable, whatever, that you failed again. No. It says God is greater and He knows all things. And the next verse says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. So the thing is, we need to come in agreement with what God has said about us if we are to approach the throne of God. Okay? There's another verse in chapter 5 of 1 John. I think we come over here to verse... I'm looking in the wrong chapter. Verse 14. Chapter 5, 1 John. Yes. Same epistle, 1 John, chapter 5. And this is the confidence, amen, that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Amen. Now, you can know that it is His will that your needs are met. If you need a job, if you need an income, you ask and He will find it. It might take Him a little time, but amen, He will. It says, and if we know that He hears us, all right, so you have to know that He hears you. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Sister Rita was reading about love here this morning. Was it Rita? Yeah. For God so loved. Yeah. Go back over into chapter 4. There's a couple of good verses here about love. Chapter 4 of 1 John. Look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Amen? There's the ticket. If you love. You know, the enemy wants to destroy love. He wants to take it away from us. He wants to have us despise one another. He wants to have us quarrel with one another. What have you. Now, go down to verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath toward us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. God wants us to have boldness. There's nothing wrong with boldness before God. As long as it's in the right attitude. Okay? We might have boldness in the day of judgment. In other words, there's coming a day of judgment. We need to know that we are ready for that day. We need to know because we continue to live in Him. And our ways are the ways of righteousness. Amen? Because as He is, so are we in the world. And then it says, and there is no fear in love. Okay? If God is love and we love Him and He loves us, there should be no fear to approach God. Yes, I mean, in one sense, fear the Lord, but not the kind of fear that, He's going to smash me, He's going to kill me. No. I fear Him because I fear to go against His righteousness. I fear to trespass against God. I fear to sin. I fear to give in to the devil's temptations. You know? I fear to go contrary to the word of God that I know. Yes, I fear that. But a loving God I do not fear. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. You want to know how to get rid of your fear? Perfect love. That'll put it out. It'll cast it. It says it casts it out. Because fear hath torment. If you're in fear, you're tormented. You're having a hard time. Amen. Torment, that's the best word. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And we love him because he first loved us. Amen. Well, I want to go on. We're talking about prayer. I want to go on back into the book of Daniel. Because we have another occasion. I'm going to save till later what the angel of the Lord told Daniel. Okay, but I want to look at another prayer that Daniel made in the 10th chapter. And after we get finished with that, we'll go back and look at the things that God revealed to Daniel. Amen. Because of his prayer or in his prayer. Amen. Now, Daniel was a very loved man. Okay? The Lord loved him very much. He was also a very faithful man. Remember, he was in his faithfulness to pray. It was because of his prayer that he got thrown into the lion's den. Amen? In a way, you could say it was because of prayer that the three brethren were thrown into the fiery furnace. But kind of the reverse side. It was because they wanted them to pray and bow down to that image, and they said, no, we don't bow down, we don't pray to that thing. We pray to God. And they said, well, if you don't, you're going in the furnace. Okay, you know, you remember the story. You remember the story because Daniel prayed, what did it say, 3 times a day? Amen? Do we pray 3 times a day? How about oftener than that? How about pray without ceasing? Amen. How about that there's always a prayer on your lips before God? How about that you go around the house mumbling prayers to the Lord? Do you ever do that? Yeah. Yeah, we do that. Sometimes we say to one another, did you say something? No, I'm just talking. Just talking to the Lord. Okay, but Daniel boldly prayed. They set a trap for him, you know. That, well, King, for the next so many days, nobody makes any petition except to you. I mean, what a stupid trap. Daniel just throws his window open toward Jerusalem. Jerusalem's over that way. God, you know, and they believed that God lived in Jerusalem. This is what the ancient Jews believed. They did not have... I don't know how Daniel could miss the concept of the heavenly God, because these angels had to come from somewhere. But they would always pray toward Jerusalem. And he would just throw his window open and, oh God, blessed be the name of the Lord Yahweh, you know, and the God of our people. And here's these guys sneaking outside his window and come and arrest him and take him, and of course, because of that, he was thrown in the lion's den. All right, now, here's another prayer. Now, this is many years later. Daniel is quite old now. He's not a young man anymore. And it says, in the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Now, maybe you have a hard time understanding what this means, that he was mourning for 3 weeks. I mean, it wasn't mourning because somebody had died. He had chosen to afflict his soul before the Lord that he might hear what God had to say. In other words, he's going to put down all of his fleshly distractions and just focus on the God of heaven, okay? And seek the Lord and begin to travail before the Lord and ask God Oh Lord, I believe you have something to say to me. Oh God, you have something for your people. And you remember last week how we read the whole prayer where he confessed the sins of his fathers and his people. And it was indeed the sins of his fathers that had brought them into Babylon as captives in the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. But we're in a different king now. We're under King Cyrus. And it says that he was in mourning for 3 full weeks. It says, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh or wine in my mouth 3 whole weeks. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. All right, so as I said, Daniel is an older man now. He didn't come right out with a straight out fast, okay? I think sometimes when you get a little bit older, it's probably more difficult to fast. I think a young person can more easily do so. Brother Seth used to say that you need to fast when you're young to overcome the lusts of the flesh. All right. In those days when we were younger, we did more of that. And I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying follow the Lord. But what Daniel's fast was now, and I call this a Daniel fast. What Daniel fast was, he had no meat, okay? No chicken, no hamburgers, none of that. No flesh, no fish, nothing. Neither did he eat any pleasant bread. In other words, he didn't sit down to cookies and cake and ice cream and that type of thing. There was nothing, there was no sweets that he had. The only bread that the only thing he ate apparently was just plain bread. It was like bread and water diet that he was eating. Now, you can sustain yourself for a long time on bread and water. You really can. Prisoners have lived on it for years. And so Daniel was, he was sustaining himself on this. This is the Daniel fast, okay? And it says that he neither did he anoint himself. Now, I don't know what your definition of anointing would be. He probably didn't, he didn't wash himself for 3 weeks. He didn't freshen up, so to speak. He didn't, what are the lotions and potions that women put on themselves? He wasn't a woman, but he didn't put that stuff on, okay? And in this culture, people would sometimes rub olive oil on their skin to freshen it up, you know, to keep it soft and to try to stave off the wrinkles of old age and whatever. It didn't work. It doesn't work today either. But they still use it, and they sell millions and millions of dollars worth of stuff for the Fountain of Youth. Daniel did not use anything, okay? And he was just, he said, well, here I am, Lord, if my skin doesn't look good, if I don't smell good, I'm sorry, but this is the way I'm afflicting myself. I'm afflicting my body. I'm putting myself in a place of discomfort, of unpleasantness. I may not even like myself in these 3 weeks. But Lord, this is part of my affliction of myself, that I might spend all this, concentrate this effort on the throne of God. All right? Now in the midst of this, okay, it says in the 24th day of the first month, the 24th day. All right, 3 weeks is how many? It's 21 days, right? It doesn't say that he began in the very first of the month. I believe that he probably began 24th. He would probably had begun on the third day of the month. Okay? He said it was beside the great river, which is the Hiddekel. So during this time, Daniel did not just stay in his house on his knees before his bed. He didn't just stay there. He went about. He went out of the house. He went down by the river. He walked along by the river, probably among the trees. There were probably trees among the river. And in this time as he was walking, you know, some people pray better when they're walking. Did you know that? I do a lot better sometimes when I'm walking. And sometimes I do okay when I'm just sitting still. Amen. But he was down by the river, And he said, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. Now he called him a man, and yet a man does not come clothed like this. A man does not come with his loins clothed with gold. Amen. Now, go on with the description. He said, a certain man. So it's an angel in the form of a man. All right, we know from his description now that angels have a human form. Okay? It says, his body also was like beryl. Anybody know what beryl is? Let me look this up in the Amplified, and I'll give you a better description here. I have the Amplified Bible right here with me. Here we are, Daniel. Because there's a few verses I want to read in the Amplified here too today. Verse 6, okay. It says, his body also was a golden luster like beryl. Okay? His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. Amen? I think that says that in the, like lamps, but here it says torches. His arms and his feet like glowing burnished bronze. Glowing. Hot. Okay, his feet. And the sound of his words was like the roaring of the sea or the noise of a multitude of people. Amen? It says, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. So apparently he was here, and his friends were in this fast with him, seeking the Lord. But Daniel's the only one that got the vision. They were aware of something terrible, terrifying, shall I say, awesome, that was happening, but they didn't see it. All right? So he said, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me, for my fresh appearance was turned to pallor. I grew weak and faint with fright. Okay? Now I'll go back into the King James again here. He says, yet I heard the voice of the words, of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. Now, wouldn't you like to have that kind of help to get up? If you're lazy. Well, I mean, come on. I was laying on the couch, and Rita came over, and she says, it's time to get up and pray. We're going to have supper. And I thought, oh, it feels so good to lay here. The bones are so stiff. Why don't I just have an angel help here and just lift me up off of here? That's what I told her. Isn't that what I said? Why can't you be an angel here and give me a Daniel lift? Well, no, I did get up. Amen. Okay. So, but what the angel did, he did not lift him completely up. You hear the description? He was flat on his face. And what the angel did was he brought him to this position, like this, on his hands and knees. Okay? Now, that wasn't the full extent of where the angel wanted him. He wanted him, but the angel just apparently scooped down and brought him up like this. All right, Daniel, come on, a little further up. I can't talk to you. Lay it flat on your face. Okay? And he said to me, O Daniel, greatly beloved. Oh my, wouldn't you love to hear an angel come to you and say words like that to you? Just put your name in there. Greatly beloved. And you know, come on, we're talking about love. How do you know that God doesn't greatly beloved you? Why can't you believe that?
I do.
Is there anything wrong with believing that?
He says, I have God.
You know, wouldn't that change your approach to God? If you knew that's the way he felt about you, you know, greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. Okay, you're not all the way up yet, Daniel. Amen. For unto thee am I now sent, and when he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling. So, he's up, but he's shaking.
Amen.
Come on, realize. I don't know if you've ever met an awesome sight like this. If you ever see an angel in full face or Jesus, it's an awesome, awesome, awesome sight.
And you will tremble.
And if you're not already laying down, you'll tremble. Okay? And he said to me, fear not. Now, what did we read again? Perfect love casts out fear. So, the angel came and announced God's love for him, and then told him he wasn't to fear. Alright, so you can stop trembling. Everything's going to be alright. I'm not here to destroy you or anything like that. I'm not here to throw you in a fiery furnace. I'm just here to give you the word of the Lord. I realize that, you know, heaven is an awesome place. This angel came right out of heaven, down to earth, into our carnal realm, and he brought heaven with him. So if you're in heaven, this is going to be common, ordinary, this is the way life is up here. Okay? I say up here. I mean in here. Up meaning spiritual up. Okay? In this higher plane. Amen. Fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself. See? To chasten thyself, to humble thyself. Let me see what the Amplified says on that. To humble yourself, yeah. To humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in consequence of your words. How many of you have had some of your prayers delayed? You didn't get the answer. You didn't get a visitation as quickly as you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe you didn't even go on a 21-day Daniel fast. Some things take some time, don't they? Okay? There are things that God takes his time on, and there are things that God just says, well, you know, I need to do some work in this fellow before he's ready to have thus and thus answered. All right? But here, there was a different problem. The problem here is that the devil was withstanding. The devil was holding. Can you believe that a devil would hold an angel back?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
This, by the way, this is Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
This is the angel Gabriel. This is an archangel. And it doesn't even say that the devil himself was the one. It says the prince of Persia was... Okay, let's go on here. He says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia, amen, withstood me 120 days. That's a full 3 weeks, isn't it? So, let's go back. From the very first day, Daniel got up that morning. He said, okay, I'm finished with sweet foods. I'm finished with, I'm going to afflict my soul. I'm going to humble myself before God. I'm not going to anoint myself today. No meat, okay? No leg of lamb or anything like that. And that very day, that very hour, God said to Gabriel, my servant Daniel is seeking and he's humbling himself. Go.
Mm-hmm.
Give him the word that I have for him.
Mm-hmm.
That very hour. Now, that very hour, the angel did not show up to Daniel. It took 21 days. What was happening? Where was that angel for 21 days?
Trying to get through.
Now, I don't understand.
Michael.
I don't understand heavenly things as well as I would like. Okay? Heavenly things are not in physical locations like we like to think, like our way of thinking is. In other words, we would think, okay, God is 1,000 miles in that direction. Well, this is our thinking, and I'm over here, and an angel is trying to come, and between me and him, at the 500-mile mark or something, there sits this evil prince, and he's stopping him from coming. It's not spatial things like that.
Right.
It is almost impossible for us to understand spiritual things. The spirit realm is probably all around us. This evil prince of Persia, in a sense, he could be sitting right next to me.
Yeah.
He probably isn't, but he could be. And these evil spirits, by the way, and angels, they can only be in one place at a time. They are limited spatially. God is not.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is not. He can be in all places at once. But devils cannot.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, angels cannot.
Right.
They have specific places that they have to be insofar as this world is concerned. And likewise, these demons and devils, I'll use both terms, because I believe that this evil prince, I will call him a devil. He's probably a fallen angel, one of those that fell with Satan. Okay? And I don't know how many fell with Satan. You can speculate. Somebody said that maybe 12 of them fell. Somebody said, well, maybe 9 fell. I don't know. We have only the names of 3 archangels that we've ever heard the names of. Okay? There is Gabriel, Michael, and Heliel. And Heliel, the archangel Heliel, is now, his real name was Heliel. We call him the devil. We call him Satan. We call him the great red dragon. We call him Lucifer. Well, Lucifer is not really a name, but we use that name sometimes. People use that name. So, he was one of the 3 archangels. But there are other angels that fell as well with him. The Bible says that, and it suggests that a third of the angels were dragged out of heaven with his tail when he came down. So he took a substantial part of heaven with him, the spiritual realm. Okay, so these are angels, not necessarily archangels, but these are angels that fell with Satan. And some of them are pretty powerful, okay? Some of them are princes. In other words, Satan apparently promised them a certain kingdom, a certain dominion, told them he was going to take over the earth, told them he was going to give them a dominion and place of ruling. And apparently they are set up in realms of dominion and I don't know, but what maybe each of these countries has a ruling demon over it. I'm not sure that places like the United States don't have a number of them, okay, ruling over them. I'm not sure that there aren't demons that rule over certain realms of sin. I have the impression sometimes that there are demons that specialize, say, in homosexuality, and they bring that dominion into a region when they come and change the laws and everything else. I believe there are demons that specialize in promoting alcoholism in certain communities, promoting murder and mayhem, as Sister was praying, in certain communities. This community, Chicago, you know, different places where this kind of violence, I think there are certain demons, devils, shall I say, that rule over these things. Now, let me say that demons are different from fallen angels. Okay, if you want to call fallen angels devils, you go ahead and call them that. There is a devil, and that is Satan. Okay, but there are fallen angels that work with him. Okay, he has a hierarchy, by the way. Can I draw you the hierarchy of Satan's kingdom? Did I ever do this?
No.
At the top of the rank, you have Satan. And then you have these princes. And some of these princes are mentioned here in the Bible. I'll just put Persia. And I'll put Greece. And others. I don't know the names of the others. The Bible does name these two in particular. And under these, then, you have demons. Okay? Demons. And these demons are disembodied human spirits. And they also do the work of the devil. So, in other words, if you die and you're not in Christ,
you're with them.
This is who you're working with.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. If you die in Christ, you're among the saints in the heavenly realm. So these are under strict control of Satan. Now, there are specialists among this bunch here. There are specialists. And the vision that Bert had when he was in Sierra Leone, was it a couple years ago, where he saw a table, and it was the council of hell that was gathered at the table, and there were human spirits, not necessarily demons, but maybe even living human beings that had gathered at that table by spirit, as well as this bunch and Satan himself. And they had folders laid out. And in the folders might have your name on it. But they had the folders of the sons of God laid out there. And they knew every weakness. They knew your history. They knew everything about you. And they were... It was in the darkness of the night that they met. And they held counsel to determine what they would do to try to snare you and to trap you and to bring mischief against the saints of God. And he said as soon as the meeting finished, there was a courier. And he put all this into his bag and he went off in the night. And he went to spread this evil throughout all the world, the earth. Plans that they had counseled up. They maybe meet every night, I don't know, to conjure up plans or what they're going to do. And he said some of these evil beings, these evil couriers, are so wicked that they must remain. They must move around the earth constantly to remain in darkness. They cannot come into the light. And just continue to carry on. All right, now let me go on with Daniel. I'm just giving you a little picture here of... he says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Now, people can say, and I don't know whether they say rightly so or not, but people can say, well, that was before Jesus Christ. Today we have the blood, we have... And it may be true, you know. I'm sure we have greater weapons today than Daniel had in his day. We do have the blood of Jesus today. Amen? We do have the blood, and we can know and say to Satan... the blood prevails.
Amen.
The blood prevails, Satan.
Amen.
So we do have a more mighty weapon than Daniel had available at his time. Now, perhaps Gabriel did not have the weapon of the blood. Okay? So Gabriel was hindered in coming through with the message to Daniel. But when God saw, and God, obviously God knew for 21 days what was happening, but he allowed this as a lesson so that we would know what's going on in the spiritual realm. And he then sent Michael. Now it appears that Michael is the most mighty of all the archangels. He's the mighty warring angel. And he's the one who will come in our generation, in our day,
Amen.
To help bring deliverance. Amen. It says in Revelation 12 that Michael and his angels fought against the devil and his angels.
Yes.
Amen. And there was no more place found for the devil and his angels, and they were cast out of heaven. So there's coming a time, I'll just take the eraser here, there's coming a time when this whole bunch, amen, is cast out of a higher realm and they are cast down into an earth realm. Now, I'm not sure what that means, but it means earth is here where we live. It's not up in this spirit realm anymore. And they are still spirits, but they are spirits that have been brought down into an earthy realm. So they're going to be carrying on their business more down here in earthy realm.
Right.
They're going to create more mischief. They're going to create more violence. They're going to get into the souls of more men. Amen? They're going to create more trouble in the church. Amen? They're going to create trouble anywhere they can. And it's going to get more violent here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
More intense on earth. Amen. So, I'll continue here with Daniel. The prince of Persia withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes. Amen. Let me see if the Amplified calls him one of the chief. Yeah, one of the chief of the celestial princes came to help me, and I remained. What that means is I was not needed there anymore. I was not needed. It's a strange translation. I remained. No, he didn't remain. He came to Daniel. But the real meaning of that is I was not needed back there. Michael was taking care of this prince of Persia. And I don't know, what was Michael saying to the prince of Persia? Where's that verse in is it in Jude? Where he said, the Lord rebuke you.
Yes.
The Lord rebuke you.
Yes.
The Lord rebuke you. Now, he didn't come on his own word and say, I rebuke you.
Right.
But he said, the Lord rebuke you. And he had the power to do it.
Yes.
Okay? The Lord rebuke you. All right. Now I am come to make you understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Now, he brought him a word, and which will be the next chapter. I'm not sure I really want to go into it. I can just summarize it a little bit. It's most of that message that he brought of these coming kingdoms, most of this is ancient history already, okay? Except for the very last one. However, he brought the word, and let me just give the description of Daniel. And when he had spoken such words to me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. Amen? He could not speak. His face still went down like this, okay? And he could not speak. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men. Here's this similarity of a man again. Mm-hmm. Touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord. So, again, the angel had to touch him to quicken his mouth. I want to hear from you, Daniel. I want you to talk with me too. Okay? And, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned into me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. So he was out of breath too. Okay. He says, then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. Now, I'm as far as I can see, there's only one angel standing in front of him, but he keeps saying, and one did this, and one did that. And I'm kind of wondering, was there more than one really here, or what? Okay? And there came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. So you see, the touch of God brings strength to us.
Yes.
If we can say these are representatives of God, the touch of God brings strength. Amen. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. So here again, he's repeating this, telling the man he's loved, telling him he has no place for fear. Amen. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. Now, if God says to you, be strong, it has the power to strengthen you. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you remember what God said to Joshua when he was called to when he was called to take the leadership of Israel? Joshua. Let's go back to the first part of Joshua for just a minute. Be strong and be courageous. Now, I want to read it to you, though. I got to find Joshua here. Deuteronomy, Joshua. Yeah. And actually, the very same words, I believe, were in the last part of Deuteronomy as well. It'll be the very first part, but I'm looking in Deuteronomy first just to see. Yeah, it says in verse 9 of the last chapter of Deuteronomy, it says, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him as the Lord commanded Moses. Okay? Now, we come over here to the book of Joshua, the first chapter, and it says, and the Lord spoke to him, saying, now verse 2, first he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. He told him to arise, go over the Jordan, take this people over. Every place of the sole of your foot treads I have given you, as I said to Moses. And now in verse 5, he said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. All right, here's the part now. Verse 6. Be strong. Be strong, amen, and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give thee. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Amen? Now, it doesn't matter what Joshua felt like in himself. Joshua might have thought of himself, well, I don't know if I feel very strong. I don't know if I can measure up to Moses. You know, I'm just a young fella here. Moses is 120, you know. He's got a lot more experience than I've got. That's not the point. It doesn't matter what you thought about yourself. If God says to you, be strong and be courageous, it is the word of the Lord, and it has the power to create the thing that He spoke in you.
Amen.
If God can say, let there be light, and there was light.
Right.
Let there be firmament. All right? If God can say that, it creates it. And if God can say to you, be thou courageous.
Amen.
Be of good courage. If he can say that to you, and if you can hear the Lord say that, you believe, and it has the power to create it. If you don't believe it, you're not going to get it. In the same way that where Jesus would say to a man, he would say, "If thou wilt, I can be made whole." And he would say, "I will. Be thou made whole." And it created the wholeness in the man. Now, I'm just a man. I don't have that power. But the power of the Lord, the Lord can speak a word to me and say, "Son, I want you to do thus and thus." His word has the power for me to do it.
Amen.
And accomplish it.
Hallelujah.
And finish the job. And fulfill it. Do you believe that?
Yes,
amen. And then we get down to verse 9. "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage." I don't care how weak you felt. "Have not I commanded you to be strong?"
Amen.
That means if you will believe what I said, you will be strong.
Mm-hmm.
And you will be courageous too. Be not afraid.
Amen.
Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you have ever been afraid? Do you believe the word of the Lord? Be not afraid.
Amen.
If you do, you have no need to be afraid.
Amen.
It's when you listen to those other spirits that tell you you should fear, that they're going to whip you, that they're going to get the better of you, that they're going to drag you down, that they're going to put you in torment, that they're going to make you hear this and this and this and the other thing. They lie. They lie, and if you believe their lies, you've bought it.
Mm-hmm.
But the word of the Lord has the power to overrule the things that Satan and your flesh can give you. Has the power to overrule that. Amen? "Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed." What do you think of the word dismay?
Discouraged.
Yeah, discouraged. Anything you can add to it? "For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Does that mean just in my house, or does that mean when I step out onto the street?
Everywhere.
Does that mean when I get in my car?
Yep.
Does that mean when I go across the state line?
Wherever you go.
Yes. Does that mean when I go down into the dangerous part of town?
Wherever you go.
If I have business to be there, if I'm just there on my own idle curiosity, I'm not sure that would be true. But wherever the Lord sends me, amen, I have His shield of protection.
Amen.
Amen. "Whithersoever thou goest." Amen. All right, so we'll go back to Daniel again. He was told, he was strengthened. And he said, "O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong." In other words, he had to say it twice because Daniel wasn't feeling very strong. He was shaking and trembling there a minute ago. "And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened." Do you see that? It was the word of God that brought the strength. If an angel has authority to bring that word, then he is bringing the word of God to me.
Right.
And I will receive it as coming from God.
Yeah.
Did any of you ever get a word from an angel?
I think I did. I don't know if it was the Lord or
anything. I did a long time ago. He kind of gave me a rebuke. He said, "No, no, don't do that." What?
I say unto thee, baptism when he
will. Amen. All right. "I was strengthened, and I said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me." Now, We go on here with this. I'm talking about a prayer. I'm talking about a prayer encounter that Daniel had. All right? And he then said, he, "Knowest thou therefore wherefore I am come to thee?" Do you know why I'm come? Here, let me go over to the Amplified here. He says, "Do you know why I've come to you? And now I will return to fight with the hostile prince of Persia, and when I have gone, notice the hostile prince of Greece will come." Mm-hmm. So we had another one coming to do mischief.
Yep.
Two of them, all right? "But I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing or book of truth. There is no one who holds with me and strengthens himself against these hostile spirit forces except Michael,"
right,
"your prince."
Right. He's
a fire. Amen. Amen. I believe that God is going to send Michael,
yes,
in these last days. Now, we don't pray to angels, by the way. We don't pray for angels. Amen. But we're coming into a time when the purpose of the devil is going to come to destroy the people of God. I was looking for this verse of where the devil has planned to bring destruction. You know, I found it yesterday and I can't find it today. It's in one of these chapters here. Is that where he's talking about the destruction? No. I'm talking about the end time. It's in the latter part of chapter 11.
And at that time, Michael stands up.
Yeah, I think we just read that, didn't we? Yeah, but that's not the one I'm looking for. It's the one where he will bring destruction to the people of God. Well, I guess I can find it. It's in Daniel, yeah. I think it's in chapter 9 too. Well, let me turn. No, it's not in chapter 9. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Here's part of it. This isn't the whole thing, but in chapter 7, it says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change the times and the laws. And they shall be given into his time until a time and times and the dividing of time."
What?
Amen. That's a year.
Yep, 3.5 years.
Amen.
What verse?
That was verse 25 of chapter 7. It says, "But judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion and consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom." But I do want to say that there is a time when he will come against the saints of the Most High. Amen. There was something a lot more clear here that I just read, and I should have put a mark on it. But that he would be given the opportunity for a season of time to bring destruction to the saints. And I am going to find it. I'm going to read this in the Amplified, Daniel 7:22.
How about 7:18?
That's the good news. Yeah. That's the end. 7:18 is the good news. But here's what he's going to do. And what verse were we on again? 23. Thus the angel said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and he shall devour the whole earth, tread it down, and break it in pieces and crush it. And he's going to have access to the church. Mm-hmm. He's going to have access to the church as well. Amen? And also going to bring his this same kind of thing. Here in verse 19, I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast. Now this is the same thing, another vision, very similar to the one that Daniel was just given after this prayer, about four kingdoms, okay? This is the fourth. This is the one in our day, our generation, that's coming on the earth. It says he's different from all the others, exceedingly terrible and shocking, whose teeth were of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured, broke, and crushed and trampled what was left with his feet. This is happening now. This is a spiritual activity of what is going on right now, and he is spreading this activity in the church as well. Mm-hmm. He is crushing, stamping without regard. There's no humanity of soul of any kind in this wickedness. There's no compassion whatsoever. Just kill and destroy. All he has regard for. And this is where love is going. He's destroying love. The possibility of love. Don't care. Just look after me. I'm the only thing that matters. This is what the devil is doing. Hallelujah. Well, let us remember that the saints of the Most High, that's the good news. And I think we get back into Daniel again, because the things that were revealed here in the ninth chapter, we haven't gotten into that in a long time, the 70 weeks of Daniel. We get into that and look at some of the things that the Lord revealed to Daniel, and it brings it right up into our time. It's about time. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, bless the Lord. Amen.